Listening online, we are located in the Anchorage temporary LIO. I'm Senator Anna Fairclough. And members that are present from the FBNA committee are Representative Mike Cocker, myself, Senator Fairclough, Senator Kathy Giesel. Also joining us this morning, elected members, Representative Doug Isaacson, Senator Donnie Olson, Representative Tammy Wilson, Senator John Coghill, Representative Dan Sadler, Representative Eric Feige, and I believe that's all the elected representatives in the audience. Today, the LBNA committee is facilitating two identical meetings in order for the legislature to receive a confidential briefing from the current administration on the Alaska LNG project. Everyone who's participating in these meetings today will have signed the confidentiality agreement required to receive the briefing. As a legislature, we passed SB 138, and we anticipated that the legislature would need to be briefed on sensitive information to protect Alaska's interests in the LNG project on behalf of the people of our state. It is critical that this information remain confidential so we, as a state participating in the project, aren't tipping our hands to the producers or other partners in our strategy and therefore undermining the state's interests. It is our job as the legislature to be informed and understand why certain decisions and commitments have been made. Understand the work that has been done to date for the future development of the Alaska LNG project, as well as provide input on the process and decision making. As you know, a confidentiality agreement is meant to share confidential information, information some may not receive by choice or otherwise. But for those of us who do receive it, it's our job to determine how to use that information to make decisions on behalf of Alaskans. With that said, the briefing will take place in executive session to protect the confidential information that will be shared with us. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee enter executive session as provided by Uniform Rule 22B1 and B3. Since the meeting will involve a discussion of matters that the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. We will take it at ease to enter into executive session. Those members and staff that have signed the confidentiality agreement may remain in the room on teleconference. With that, we'll take it at ease to clear the internet and the room. Senator Fairclough, it's still November 28, 2014. We're still at the temporary Anchorage LIO. It is 12:52 p.m. now. And with me at the table, Senator Giesel, Representative Hawker, Representative Isaacson, Representative Feige, Representative Sadler. At this time, we're back on the record, and I had requested from the Department of Revenue and the Department of Natural Resources a presentation for the general public so there's an understanding of what we're talking about and an update on the Alaska LNG project. Commissioner Balash, if you could, for the record, for those listening in other places, please identify yourself before you speak and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Balash, Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm here with
Angela Rodell, Commissioner for the Department of Revenue.
And we want to just provide an update to the committee, the public, on the status of the AK LNG project and what it is going to take to keep the project on track for a FEED decision in early 2016. The AK LNG project team has been assembled over the course of the summer since SB 138 was enacted. The project work has gone very well on time and I think roughly under budget. The venture agreement and team that's been assembled under the leadership is incredibly well positioned, lots of global experience in projects such as this, and the state team itself now is well positioned to carry out the work that will be necessary to complete the agreements on the agency side of this venture that will facilitate the commitment to FEED that will take place in early 2016. We have seen very good cooperation, constructive dialogue, and energy across all parties. We don't agree on every little thing every day, of course, but we have all been working to solve problems in a way that allows every party to win and not make it a zero-sum game. The AKLNG project is now in Phase 2, pre-FEED, with a phase gate decision coming up in first quarter 2016. But there's a lot of work that will be necessary in order to prepare for that decision in 2016. We expect a number of things, particularly as they relate to RIK decisions at DNR, as well as other fiscal agreements, to be developed early in the new year so that the public and legislature can vet and affirm those agreements in a special session that we would estimate to occur sometime in the fall of 2015. The process that we are engaged in is one where the executive branch very clearly is the negotiating party, but because the authority ultimately to approve the agreements being negotiated comes through the legislature, we are conducting periodic executive sessions with this committee being the first, and hopefully other standing committees during the regular session, to continue to get feedback on some of the options and pathways that are available to us during this negotiation phase.
Madam Chair.
President Hawker.
If I might ask a question that this segues me to, you are providing us both here publicly to the degree you can, and then, of course, under the terms of the confidentiality agreement in much more details of the state's, it's called the bargaining position, mm-hmm. the specifics of our position within the overall negotiations. It's also my understanding that there has not been a similar transition briefing with the incoming administration by either the Department of Revenue or the Department of Natural Resources. And I'm just wondering, do you know if there are any plans to have such a detailed transition briefing with those, with the incoming administration, as you are giving us transition briefings out?
Through the chair, Representative Hawker, there's not been a detailed briefing to date. As far as whether there might be one later after the transfer of power on Monday, I certainly am going to make myself available. I have had a conversation with Dr. Myers regarding the transition at DNR generally. I would expect gas issues will come up when we get an opportunity mm-hmm. to meet face-to-face, but there's not anything I'm aware of that's specific to gas and AKLNG that has been scheduled.
If you don't mind me, ma'am, I'd like to ask Commissioner Rodell, have you and Department of Revenue been just instrumental in developing the details and all of these intricacies that are involved in this to date? Had any opportunity to do a transition of the work you've done to the incoming administration?
Through the chair, Representative Hawker, we have not been asked to provide a transition, but I will, as Commissioner Balazs said, I will be and continue to make myself available to the extent that once they take office on Monday, they wish to have such a briefing, but there has been no request that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please continue.
One thing that I have to stress is this last bullet. The work schedule that we've laid out, that the other parties have seen, you know, we've all sort of mutually figured how to put all of the work into the schedule contemplated, requires maintaining alignment in our views as to where it is we're trying to go. If we maintain that alignment, I think all of the parties have demonstrated a willingness to work in a constructive way to make the necessary progress to keep the project going. But any one of the parties can upset that alignment, and that could easily be one of, you know, the three private parties. So this is a success case that we're talking about and looking at for schedule. But I do think it's important to note, you know, that the administration-to-be, Governor-elect Walker, has said he wants to keep this on track. And so what we're showing you and the public is what on track looks like, the progress that needs to be made over the next 15 to 18 months. This is the overall project schedule that we have been on. First, in dealing through the Point Thompson settlement and joint work agreements, getting through concept selection, and making our way into pre-FEED. That's where we are today. The parties collectively are spending roughly $500 million. And the work associated with pre-FEED should be complete by the end of next calendar year, 2015. That presents the opportunity then to move into the full FEED phase. That's expected to be roughly a $2 billion decision on the part of the parties. It will take 2 to 3 years to complete, depending upon the federal permitting processes and the length of time there. And once those permits are in hand, the parties will be in a position to sanction the project, make a final investment decision, and begin construction. And as you can see from the stacking of ranges here, that puts first gas as soon as 2023, but it could be 2025, and that all would be within a normal range and expectation. But of course, any one of these numbers could slip if we fail to achieve the necessary agreements or alignments along the way, or permits.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, ma'am. And Commissioners, could you just confirm for me, you know, we've seen this chart throughout the last legislative session as part of the development of Senate Bill 138, which is, just like it says, it's the highest level, most abstract plan chart for the entire successful project, the work plan and the key decision points. Is this chart that is before us today the same chart as we were considering in the legislature when we were looking at 138, or have there been any significant changes made to it since we last saw it in front of us?
Through the chair, Representative Hawker, this is the same chart. We've stripped off some of the other information that you would have seen below it, some of the detail, so that we could call out the boxes for dates, but this is the same.
So, Madam Chair, to that end, we are still currently on track and on target with the chart that we considered in the debate of 138.
We are very much on track.
Thank you.
As I've alluded to, the next 15 months or so, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to reach that FEED decision in the first quarter of 2016. We've tried to provide a general description of the work that will go on without including anything that might be confidential. But you can see that the general timeline stretching from January of 2015 through that FEED decision, there are some call-outs in terms of months on the calendar, things that we think are going to need to be struck. And on sort of a top line there is the DNR RAK process. This is the royalty in kind decision, as well as the decision to limit the state's right to switch from in value to in kind, or in kind to in value, as well as the flattening of royalty terms on certain leases that have a net profit share or sliding scale royalty. That process will take place this spring and is one that should be complete by August. And the reason for August is that we think that's an agreement, a set of determinations by the DNR commissioner that should be laid out for the public in advance of a special session in October. And there will be a variety of agreements necessary for the legislature to approve at that point in time. You may recall SB 138 enables the commissioner, in consultation with the other commissioner, to enter into agreements of less than 2 years' duration. All of these agreements that are going to be needed to support the project are going to need a duration longer than 2 years. That means legislative approval will be required. So working backwards from that October special session target, giving the public and the legislature a couple of months to review the information, however it is the project and the next administration want to provide that information publicly, whether it's in town hall meetings or whatever, they'll have an opportunity then to do those sorts of things in August and through the fall there before bringing everybody together in a special session. There's work that needs to be done by the Department of Revenue along with municipalities as it relates to production, with regard to property tax and PILTS. And for virtually all of these agreements that we're talking about, in order for them to be in a position to roll out publicly in August, you basically need to have term sheet level agreement by April, with the agreements themselves papered fully by July, so that each organization then can advance them up their respective chain before making them public in August.
And if I could just add one note before we move off this page, the Municipal Advisory Gas Project Review Board has been meeting on a regular basis and has been working hard on their recommendations to both the administration and to the legislature in terms of changes to property tax for this project. So that report is on target to be released. The first report is on target to be released December 15th as required by both the administrative order and SB 138. So you will see that released in the next couple of weeks, well in advance of the legislative session starting.
This slide just highlights a significant amount of work that was done this past summer and is indicative of the kind of work that needs to be done on all components of the route. But you can see here we're looking at the activity that was conducted, concentrated between Live and Good and roughly Big Lake up in the Mat-Su Valley. The final route for the last leg of the pipeline, getting on into Nikiski, is yet to be determined. So the 2015 field season will be important, and that will also be necessary to keep things on track for the current schedule.
And wanted to add on the summer field season, there's been a tremendous amount of coordination and sharing of information with AGDC and maybe some of the work they had done on the Alaska Standalone Pipeline and bringing it into this project as well, so that there's not a duplication of effort or and along those lines. So they continue to work hard to make sure that all the information is available.
One of the things that is going to be critical to the success of the 2015 summer field season is the drafting of resource reports that go into FERC. and there's a process for each of the parties to be able to get a look at, review, and comment on those draft resource reports before they're submitted. It's a little bit of a loop here, but the important point is that these reviews need to be done by state agencies as well, and completed on time so that these draft resource reports are turned into the FERC in January so that FERC and other federal agencies can provide meaningful feedback to the project, and that will inform the scope of activities undertaken in the 2015 summer field season. So these are the kinds of things that state agencies need to be on top of when they come in the door here in this transition period. It's one of the things that could very easily get lost in the process.
Thank you, Commissioner. Representative Hawker.
And, Madam Chair, a ministerial question, in that this is public documentation. Can you explain in that bottom language there what VAMU is?
Mike.
Representative
Hawker. Quiz question to see if they know.
Representative Hawker through the chair. VAMU is the Venture Alignment Memorandum of Understanding, and part of the collective work on the project is a recognition that as the legislature set up, AGDC is the lead entity within the project. It also designated the state agencies to lead a whole host of issues that are outside the direct technical work of the project. And so the VAMU is the entity under which all of that outside the project discussion work happens, of which this is one of those pieces.
It's a working group.
It's a working group.
Thank you.
I think one of the other things that I'd like to point out on this page with the pre-file process is this is really the opportunity for municipalities and Alaskans to make their voices heard. It's a drafting process. As Commissioner Balazs said, it's an opportunity for FERC to then expand and really point out areas of where they want to see additional work done. These are initial drafts. They're really rough drafts to really help identify where the potential holes in information are. And really, this is where we want community engagement to identify the impacts of the project. So as we talk about property tax and what property tax and PILTS may look like, we can also make determinations as to what those impact payments may need to look like and make sure that they encompass the scope. And so this does have a socioeconomic report number 5, that will be very key into identifying the impacts for communities and for individuals within the state.
What we have here is an illustration of the state agency org chart. All of the individuals and teams that are presently working on AKLNG activity. And as we all know, the folks up at the top, Commissioner Rodell and myself, will be transitioning out. We will be replaced. But as a very dear friend of mine is fond of saying, personnel is policy. And I think that our replacements can come into their jobs and rely on this team to help them stay on track and keep things together. If you start to see wholesale changes in this set of boxes, I think that's an indication that things are not going to be on track. So something to keep an eye on.
And I just want to point out the note that AGDC is separate in a way. This is really the teams within revenue and DNR that have been created to move AKLNG forward.
And it includes contractors as well. And I would point out that in this particular box, right in the middle, governance. You see them repeated throughout, but Greenberg Traurig has been providing legal advice to the state of Alaska on these matters across administrations. And when it comes to developing the term sheets and drafting the agreements that will be necessary, if you see a change in the law firm, that will also be a signal that things are going to get delayed. Because bringing in a separate firm to familiarize themselves and be in a position to provide good counsel to the state and in these negotiations and agreements, that's something to watch out for.
We have a question. Representative Feige.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, in your estimation, a lot of these people, obviously, with some great experience, but they also have just been a certain amount of school of time to get them familiar with the details of the project. If one of these folks, or multiple folks, were to be in place, how much could that set the project back in terms of time?
Through the chair, Representative Feige, I think any one of these individuals could be replaced. I think it really goes more to the question of how many. Because, as I said, you know, any one of these people would be able to draw on the experience and prior knowledge of the others remaining in the organization. But if you saw a wholesale change throughout the chart here, it could be quite a while. I'd hate to try and estimate a specific amount of time.
And one thing I just want to add to that is that, you know, this is a long project. I mean, we're talking 10 years right now before first gas. So we're going to see a number of changes in personnel throughout the course of the development of this project. And I think it's just, it's just important to recognize changing, as Commissioner Baelish said, wholesale firms. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to change direction. It's just the potential for slowing down, not changing direction, not changing policy, but just slowing down the project's forward momentum. So I think there's a lot of things that could happen to affect that, even within the companies themselves, not just within the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Commissioner Rodell. We are recording meeting minutes now, and so if you could identify yourself when we swap between.
Okay.
I know it's easy for us in the room to identify who's speaking, but for those that are participating by a teleconference, it's sometimes difficult to hear who that changes to. Commissioner Baelish, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And we, for the record, we have been joined by Representative Kurt Olson. Welcome, Representative Olson.
Per the Heads of Agreement and SB 138, which continue to be the guiding documents for the activities of the state of Alaska, our work has been broken up into some specific groups: fiscal, upstream, project, governance, expansion, and then the Trans-Canada bilateral agreements. And then we also have a couple of other sort of subgroups, as it were, including regulatory, the midstream technical, the finance, and the tax. And each of these meet on a regular basis, identify tasks and deliverables, and come back to each other on a periodic basis to continue to just, you know, basically plan the work the plan, get done, and progress the given topic. With regard to finance and property tax, there were some specific homework assignments that the legislature gave to the Department of Revenue and the Municipal Advisory Board, and I'll turn that over to Commissioner Rodell.
Sure. For the record, this is Angela Rodell, Commissioner of the Department of Revenue. So the first task we've been working on, we retained Lazard and for Southwest under current federal advisory rules that have been a work in progress over the last year on the federal side. We now have an independent registered municipal advisor that works with a investment bank to provide the state advice. They're working through their first draft report. That draft report is due the first day of session, and we believe they are on track to meet that deadline. It will identify the whole spectrum of options available to the state to finance the state's portion of the project, and it will also address many of the things in 138 that you asked that report to address in terms of risk and participation by others within the state, whether they be Native corporations or individuals along those lines. So that project is due the first day, and that will then provide a framework through which you can view the other agreements and narrow down the range of financing options and provide guidance back to the administration as to what risks you believe are appropriate and which risks you believe are not appropriate for the state to take. Along with that work, we were tasked with chairing the Municipal Advisory Gas Project Review Board. We have had, I think, one of the best working groups. We've been meeting every 2 to 3 weeks on recommendations for property tax and what that needs to look like, and really recognizing the concerns of both the communities along the rail belt, along the pipeline route that will be impacted directly, and also what the impact is on to the balance of the state from a project and a recognition that not only is there an impact on the state as a whole and other communities outside, but there are also direct benefits of this project to those communities. It may not be as directly through property tax, but there's a real recognition, I think, by this group as to sort of that tension between those that are directly on the route and will benefit possibly from gas and those that are not on the route itself. And that their first that first report is due out December 15th. That board does not sunset, so I think it'll provide a good avenue for continued discussions as to how property tax will look like for this project.
Madam Chair, Commissioner Balash again. I think one of the key things that came out of this group's work was the sort of bifurcation of property tax and impact payments, because property tax is going to be what it'll be in some respects, but impacts are real. They will be felt by communities during construction. And being able to separate those two issues allows, I think, the project to deal with the real costs of impacts and be able to help address either communities or the state as we face, the construction of an enormous project. And, a small window into that is the Fairbanks North Star Borough, very likely to have very little value from the project in the FFSB's borders, but will very likely be impacted in significant ways during construction. And so, where they want to put their focus, during these next few weeks or next few months is going to change. And I think that this process actually changed their perspective on how to approach the issue. So something to monitor closely. And again, it goes back to that draft resource report number 5 in the FERC process. And finally, Madam Chair, the importance of confidentiality. SB 138 certainly provided our respective departments with a tremendous responsibility to go and negotiate and further define the details of certain key agreements that will allow the state to participate as an equity partner in AKLNG. And, that negotiation that takes place is one that ultimately is going to require the approval of the Alaska State Legislature. And in order to make sure we have a smooth process and that we all are seen as one. SB 138 created some unusual windows for the legislature to be included in a part of that negotiation by sharing confidential information with the executive branch. And you know, this is unique. You don't see it in very many other forms of activity by executive bodies. But we think it's critical because, you know, the sponsors of AKLNG aren't negotiating with the Parnell administration, aren't negotiating with the Walker administration. They're negotiating with the people of Alaska. And it's through you, their elected representatives and senators, that permission ultimately is going to be needed. So while we go through this process of developing these agreements, hammering them out, choosing certain forks in the road, getting advice and input from all of you is going to be important. And in order to give you that opportunity and give you an opportunity to provide feedback, we have to be in a position to be able to share things with you that we wouldn't necessarily want our counterparties to see, whether that's, you know, the other three producers, whether that's TransCanada, or prospectively buyers over in Japan, Korea, China, wherever. And so I know there's a lot of angst around this notion of confidentiality, but this really is designed to protect the interests of Alaskans and prevent our counterparties from knowing too much about our strategies and what the real motivations are behind some of the positions we take and the decisions we ultimately make. So we continue to believe that this course is the way to maximize Alaskans' benefit from this project. And the project itself is very much on track. It can remain on track. And hopefully this is providing all of you and the public with some sense of what it looks like if things are going to stay on track over the next year.
Thank you, Commissioner Balash. Are there questions from members of the legislature? Seeing and hearing none, I am going to, I'll advise anyone listening that we have an identical meeting scheduled for 2 p.m. where we'll come back into session. But that meeting is separately noticed, and so I'll be adjourning shortly. With that, no other comments from committee members. I wanted to say on the record that the LBNA committee and those attending today truly appreciate the opportunity to hear some transition information going forward and a timeline that we can view as at least a measurement stick for how our project is advancing. And we just appreciate Commissioner Balash, Commissioner Rodell, Deputy Commissioner Pawlowski, Deputy Commissioner Swenson. We appreciate the opportunity to have you here today, your service to the state of Alaska, and just to really thank you for the efforts to move the project along as far as we've gotten and to actually be in the game, in the hunt. With that, we're adjourned. You're joining us online. We're in the Anchorage LIO. That is the temporary Anchorage LIO. It is 2:06 p.m. With me here this afternoon, Senator Giesel, Senator Meyer, Senator-elect Costello, Representative Costello today, Representative Holmes, Representative Kurt Olson, Representative Hawker, Representative Lynn Gaddis, and those are the elected officials in the room. Could, if you're online, could you identify yourself so that we can know who's online with us?
Senator Meyer.
One at a time, please. Senator Dunleavy, are you there?
Yes.
Senator, Representative Nagyak.
Senator Machicki.
Senator Machicki, thank you.
Bob Heron.
Representative Herron, thank you.
Senator Faircloth, Doug Gardner and Emily Nauman from Ledge Legal are here for the beginning of the call at your request.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. I'm trying to get my meeting minute notes up because I'm sure the press at some point is going to ask, as well as other Alaskans who participated. So if you just give me a second, I will be ready to roll. Okay. And this again, if I didn't say it, is Senator Faircloth. Today, the LBNA committee is facilitating two identical meetings in order for the legislature to receive a confidential briefing from the current administration on the Alaska LNG project. Everyone who is participating in these meetings today has signed the confidentiality agreement required to receive the briefing. As a legislature, we passed SB 138, and we anticipated that the legislature would need to be briefed on sensitive information to protect Alaska's interest in the LNG project on behalf of the people of our state. It is critical that this information remain confidential so we, as the state participating in the project, aren't tipping our hands to the producers or other partners on our strategy and therefore undermining the state's interest. It is our job as a legislature to be informed and understand why certain decisions and commitments have been made. Understanding the work that has been done to date for the future development of the LNG project, as well as to provide input on the process and decision-making. As you know, a confidentiality agreement is meant to share confidential information, information some may not receive by choice or otherwise. But for those of us who do receive it, it is our job to determine how to use that information to make decisions on behalf of Alaskans. With that said, the briefing will be taking place in executive session to protect the confidential information that will be shared with us. Representative Hawker.
Madam Chair, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee enter executive session as provided by Uniform Rule 22B1 and B3, since the meeting will involve a discussion of matters that the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of a government unit.
Thank you, Representative Hawker. We will be taking it at ease to enter into executive session. Those members and staff that have signed the confidentiality agreement may remain in the room and on teleconference. We're at a brief at ease. For 26 p.m., it is still November 28th. That's a Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and we've had a great group of individuals with us today. We had a morning meeting that was identical to the afternoon session that started here at 2 o'clock. At the morning meeting, I identified all offices and staff that participated. I identified all of the elected officials before we went into executive session, but I want to make sure that the general public has knowledge of those participants from other offices as well. From Representative Nagyak's office, Meriden Barrio was online until 3:56 p.m. in executive session. Pete Feldman from Senator Cliff Bishop's office was in executive session through 4:05 p.m. Representative Nagyak never joined us in executive session, but we thought he was online for a while, but it was his staff. And from Representative Steve Thompson's office, we had Jane Pearson with us. I believe those are all the people that I didn't identify as. I'm sorry. Thank you, Larry. And in the room, we have Larry John Wood from Senator Mike Dunleavy's office. And Larry Siemens from Senator Michiki's office was joining us online, as well as Senator Michiki.
Madam Chair, also I believe we did not identify Robert Irvin from my office. This is Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Robert Irvine from Representative Holmes' office was with us the entire executive session. Thank you so much. We do have a presentation, Commissioner Balash. Just because we are on the record and our secretaries are trying to record who is speaking, if you could make sure as we transition from one person to the next that you identify yourselves first so that our recorders have a little bit easier time.
Absolutely.
Preparing meeting minute notes. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Joe Balash. I'm the Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm joined by my colleague from the Department of Revenue.
For the record, Madam Chair, I'm the Angela Rodell, the Commissioner for the Department of Revenue.
And what we have here for you this afternoon is a update on AKLNG from the perspective of our two agencies. The Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation is a key part of carrying Alaska's interest in the AKLNG project, but what we're doing here for you today is providing an update as to the status of things on the project. It is certainly our estimation that we are on track to maintain the schedule that was laid out when you all considered and deliberated on SB 138 earlier this year. We certainly have enjoyed the tremendous progress that has been made this year. The state's project team's top priorities are to ensure that the state's interests are fully protected and that the complete spectrum of opportunities and benefits, as well as the costs and risks, are appropriately understood, thoroughly assessed, and well communicated to decision makers such as yourselves. The team that we have assembled is, I think, one that the state of Alaska has not benefited from prior, and the makeup of that team, the contributions each one can make with specific expertise, is going to serve the next administration very well. And hopefully, ultimately, all of you. We're now well positioned to guide the project, influence the project from a technical perspective, and ultimately, when combined with the good faith and A-team participation from all of the other parties, believe there's not a good reason out there to slow down or otherwise derail this project. We have a good project. We have a fundamentally sound project, and the opportunities in front of the state are tremendous. And while we're working very well with all of the other parties, we need to maintain the expertise we have today in order to stay on top of and verify all that our partners are doing to advance the project as well. We're now in phase two of the project. We're in pre-FEED. This particular phase is scheduled to go until the end of calendar 15. There's a work plan and budget that's been identified and approved. And at this point, we have most of 2015 identified and approved for the project work. And we are moving forward among all the parties with a work plan and schedule that will facilitate the legislature's approval of key agreements that will enable all parties to move into the FEED phase in the first quarter of 2016. In order to get to that point, though, a lot of work has to take place over the next 15 months, and we're going to walk you through some of that here in a general sense that can be conveyed to the public. And we think that this schedule is feasible, workable. We've got the right resources available. The other parties have resourced their respective teams appropriately. And as long as the alignment that's been achieved to date is maintained, things should stay on track and move forward in early 16.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hawker.
Thank you, ma'am. Joe, segueing off of this point, or Mr. Commissioner, sir, segueing off of this point, you have a very clear message here about the importance of maintaining a line. We've come a long way to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've indicated with this particular slide, how this is still an ambitious schedule. It has a lot of challenges ahead of it. And you today given us both this public briefing, which really lays out the where we've been, how we got here, where we're going, I think extremely well. You've been a confidential legislative session. You've given us a great deal of the granular information that is backing this process. I think it's very, very critical for us to understand as legislators in moving this project forward, as it's something that's really been created under our auspices. Question for you and concern is, with the transition of administrations, while you're giving us an sort of an exit interview here, have you been afforded the opportunity to give the incoming administration an orientation interview?
Not as through the chair, Representative Hawker, not as of yet. My tenure ends at noon on Monday. I believe the same is true for Commissioner Rodell. But I will continue to make myself available. You know, as an Alaskan, I feel that's my responsibility. And we'll see if and when they are ready to talk.
Thank you.
I would note that Governor-elect Walker has indicated he wants to keep AKLNG on track. What we are attempting to do here is to show you and the public what on track looks like. It's a healthy pace. And I hope they buckle up. This is the project schedule that you have seen in previous presentations, identifying the beginning, the middle, the end, starting with all the Point Thompson settlement work that went on back at the beginning of the Parnell administration, concept selection, the decision to go into pre-feed, which occurred upon completion of or passage of SB 138, its enactment, and the signing of documents back in late June. So we are in pre-feed. Total work plan and budget of $500 million will be complete by the end of calendar 15, with the opportunity to move into feed in the first quarter of 2016. That feed decision is going to be a roughly $2 billion decision between the parties. And because that price tag is so large, it is very likely to be treated very similar to an FID decision. In other words, they are unlikely to push the go button unless they believe they are going to FID. From there, it will depend on how long the federal permitting processes take. Is it going to be 2 years? Is it going to be 3 years? You know, we'll just have to wait and see. And once you get through that feed phase, that permitting phase, construction should take a little more than 5 years. And depending upon what part of the calendar that begins, it could take 6 years just because of the seasonal windows associated largely with the movement of modules into the North Slope for the treatment plant. So as soon as 2023, we could see first gas. 2025 would still be within a reasonable window that you would describe as on time. Hopefully not much longer than that. In the near term, we've attempted to put together a calendar that shows these next 15 months in a way that helps provide a measuring stick to see if, in fact, the pace is being kept and the project on track. There are a variety of agreements, enabling agreements, that will allow all of the parties to move into feed. And we've got a listing here of those agreements. Durability, otherwise known as a fiscal agreement, property tax, expansion principles, gas supply, disposition, that's the sale of the LNG, and then the service agreements that the state of Alaska is going to need to have with TC and or AGDC to provide project services for our 25% of the equity in the project. In a parallel process, and we've tried to identify that above, the Department of Natural Resources is going to make certain decisions that relate to our leases and the rights and prerogatives we enjoy under those leases. SB 138 enabled the commissioner to fundamentally alter those leases and limit our ability to switch from in value to in kind or vice versa. And there are valid commercial reasons behind all of that, but the section of statute was created in a section of Senate Bill 138 that doesn't become effective law until January 1 of 2015. So the expectation is that in early 2015, a proposal will be brought forward by the parties, all of the lessees together, and a process then will take place whereby the commissioner makes certain determinations with regard to long-term LNG prices, project costs, and an evaluation of what the NPSL and sliding scale royalties would have provided for the state, and then convert that into a flat value that will be added to those specific leases so that we have a fixed royalty amount slope-wide, let me restate that, a fixed royalty amount for those specific leases so that we have some predictability as to what our share of gas is going to be once in operation. Generally speaking, we expect that in order to be successful, a special session will need to be scheduled for October. And working backwards from that, there should be about 60 days of an opportunity, a window, for the legislature, its consultants, and the public to review the documents and review the agreements that you would be asked to approve. So that working backwards through the calendar gets you to August. In order to meet that August deadline for things going public, you really need to have the agreements finalized by July. I can tell you from our own past experience, simply getting to closure on agreements at the working level is one thing. Getting all the way through corporate reviews and approvals in places like Dallas and London takes a while. And so you've got to have a few. So you've got to have a few weeks for that process to take place. So you really need to be thinking July is when you've got your agreements in hand. And to get to agreements, it sure helps to have term sheets. So term sheets by the end of March, early April, is a sign that you are on track and you are going to be able to make the rest of the calendar. So down below, you see the Department of Revenue working through and with the Municipal Advisory Project Board. There are some aspects of the fiscal system, the property tax specifically, that need to continue to be worked as well. And there will be a report coming from that board in the middle of December. And that board continues to exist beyond that report. In fact, they will continue to hopefully hold meetings and be another forum for discussions on certain aspects of the project. So it's a busy calendar and one that I'm confident that can be met if people get in and get busy, particularly if the incoming leadership is able and willing to rely on the team that we have assembled within and among the agencies. The summer field season has been completed. You can see from this map the work was concentrated between Live and Good and an area close to Big Lake in the Mat-Su Valley. The exact route the final leg of the project will go to reach Nikiski is undetermined, so there will need to be some additional work done there. But I would point out for members here, this corridor has been highly studied by the folks over at AGDC in support of the ASAP work, and there's been a very good deal of cooperation and data sharing between AGDC and AKLNG, and I'm certain that both parties have benefited from that sharing of information. I will highlight for all of you one aspect here that you can't really make out on this map, but there is a park that is a state park, the Denali State Park, that statutorily doesn't have a purpose that would serve the needs of either project. There's likely going to need to be a change to that statute in order for rights of way and permits in that particular section of the state. This slide really is intended to help identify the regulatory work that's going on with FERC. The project, AKLNG, has submitted the pre-file paperwork and, in fact, has already submitted draft resource reports 1 and 10. There are 13 reports required under the FERC process for a Section 3 project. And the rest of the resource reports are intended to be filed at the FERC by the end of January. Now, prior to those draft reports being filed, there's a process whereby each of the project sponsors, including the state, will have an opportunity to review those drafts. And that's what's laid out here in the sort of flags and boxes. The agency personnel that will be responsible for these reviews need to be on task and abiding by what are admittedly very short review periods, and really only looking for major red flags, because these reports that get submitted are going to be draft, and there will be an opportunity for them to be revised over the course of the next year. So the reason I'm bringing this one up in particular is that if everything goes according to schedule, the draft resource reports are submitted to the FERC by the end of January. FERC and all of its associated federal agencies, state agencies, will do some reviews, provide some feedback then back to the project that will help shape the summer field season in 2015. If for some reason there is a delay in the filing of these resource reports beyond January 31st, that delay will in turn delay the feedback. If the feedback is delayed, the project may not be able to alter its summer field season and collect information that will be necessary for a complete application in the spring of 2016. So, this is one of those seemingly mundane yet very important tasks to be completed, especially during this transition phase, you know, before the new administration gets its boots all the way on the ground.
Madam Chair, if I could add one comment.
Commissioner Rodell.
For the record, Commissioner Rodell, Commissioner of the Department of Revenue. One of the resource reports will be resource report number 5. This is the report that's going to outline all the socio and economic impacts on the state and communities as a result of this project. This is an opportunity for Alaskans and communities to make their voice heard, and this is the report to which the Municipal Advisory Group is looking to determine impact payments, and that the project will be looking to make determinations about impact payments as well. So one of the things we want to make sure is that communities get their voice heard, because this will become a very important part of how the project
upholds and moves through the impacts that the construction of this project will have going forward.
Slide 8 details the state agency gas team. What you don't see here are the personnel from TransCanada or the personnel from Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation. So these are just the individual employees and contractors for the Departments of Natural Resources and Revenue. And you can see we have at the top here, the commissioners and our deputies. And then in that middle collection is the leadership team for the effort. And then below them are a bunch of sub-teams that work on specific topics. And you'll see some duplication. Some people wear more than one hat. But really, I think what I would hope to convey with this particular chart is that, you know, you can remove Commissioner Rodell and myself, and there's plenty of continuity and capacity to keep things on track. And as long as that's the case, there's no reason that that the schedule we've described earlier can't be maintained. If you start to dig too deep into this chart and make changes, I don't see how you can avoid impacts to the schedule. On AKLNG, there are a number of working teams and sub-teams, the parties, the sponsor parties, are actively progressing the principles that are in the heads of agreement that we signed all the way back in January that formed the basis for SB 138 and has carried us through today. The heads of agreement continues to be a guiding document, and the commitments made there remain, and the parties continue to work in good faith in pursuit of those objectives. So we have the work groups laid out here, as well as other more specific teams that are tackling the finer points of things like the regulatory structure and tax implications. And then finance and property tax get their own special call out for the Department of Revenue, and I'll let Commissioner Rodell just give a quick update there.
Thank you. For the record, Angela Rodell, Commissioner, Department of Revenue. First off is the financing plan. We have an interim draft report due to the legislature the first day of session starting in 2015. That report is underway. Lazard was hired to be the consultant preparing that report. And then in accordance with new federal rules, we also retained an independent registered municipal advisor for Southwest. They are working very hard on putting together the spectrum of options for the state in terms of both what state financing would look like for financing its piece of this project, but also looking at what the risks and possibilities are for having other parties within the state participate, whether it's individuals or Native corporations or the other parties that were identified under SB 138. This is a draft interim report, and then once you are ready to move into making the decisions we've talked about before, the Department of Revenue will deliver a final financing plan based on some of the feedback given back about what things should be off the table and what things should be reconsidered. In terms of property tax and impact payments, as we've said repeatedly, Municipal Advisory Gas Project Review Board continues to meet. The first recommendations are due December 15th in accordance with both the administrative order and SB 138. We have a tremendous amount of information on our website with regard to the work they've done to date. I want to, again, publicly commend this group for doing such a fantastic job in speaking collegially and recognizing the varied interests each of those communities, both within the project geographic area and outside that geographic area, what that means. And so I think you'll be very pleased to see the level of detail and the amount of work they've done. So with that, I'll turn it back to Commissioner Balash.
I want to close with discussion about confidentiality, and I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for working with us to get an agreement in place that allowed us to make this presentation today. It's difficult to explain why this is so important, but given the fact that the state of Alaska is endeavoring to take on an equity role in a project this big and this important to the state's future, we've done a lot of things that are a little unique in trying to move forward, including the way in which SB 138 contemplates the negotiation of agreements by the executive branch and the ratification of those agreements by the legislature. And we want to include the legislature in the development of these agreements. The last thing in the world that we all need is for some large, complicated agreement to be handed out and landed on your desks and have you and the public told, hey, vote on this. You've got a couple months, get it done, and we got a project. No muss, no fuss. That would be unfair to you as legislators. It would be unfair to the public. And so to prevent that sort of occurrence, we have, within the language of the bill, included provision for confidential briefings by the executive branch to the legislative branch. And there are things that we need and our replacements need to be able to come talk to you about and identify where our options are and in which places do we have to make a decision to go left or right. And getting your input is critical to making a decision or a series of decisions that will provide a product that you all can have confidence in and ultimately the public can. And this really is not about a negotiation being conducted by the Parnell administration or the Walker administration or some other administration. This is about a negotiation with the people of Alaska. And you are the elected representatives and senators of those people. And having the ability to confer across bodies, across branches, really, to discuss the things that are important to the state without having any of our counterparties listening in is important. And those counterparties include the other project sponsors, the leaseholders at Prudhoe and Point Thompson, as well as the buyers of the LNG. Anybody who's going to be sitting across the table from us could listen in to a public discussion and compromise our ability to maximize the value for the people of Alaska. The potential we have here is incredible. And given where oil prices are today, every dollar we can make on gas is important. So we have to be vigilant and vicious in those negotiations, keeping in mind, of course, the need to be aligned and working to find win-win solutions to the challenges this project does face. I'm hopeful that the progress that has been started here can continue. And as long as our replacements are looking for win-wins, I think you all are going to be just fine. And I want to thank you all for the work you've done to get us to this point. And I look forward to being an observer in the future.
Thank you. I have two comments, or two folks waiting in line, but I just wanted to extend on behalf of the LBNA committee and those participating our gratitude for the hard work that your team, the LNG, Alaska LNG project team, has put forth to benefit Alaskans. I know everyone doesn't see everything exactly the same way, but good debate is healthy for all things. And so I just wanted to go on record and a personal thank you, Commissioner Balash, Commissioner Rodell, certainly Deputy Commissioner Pulowski interfaced with the legislative body over the last session, as did each of you. Previously this morning, we had Deputy Commissioner Bob Swenson, and this afternoon we have Ike in the audience, too, from the LNG project team. And I just wanted to say a public thank you, and Alaskans can benefit from your hard work. It's our next step to make. Representative Holmes, followed by Representative Hawker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to underscore a few of the things that Commissioner Balash was saying about, I know there's been a lot of discussion in the public sphere about this idea of confidentiality. And I think all of us up here at this table, as well as the people testifying and in the audience, understand that this is an Alaska project, as Commissioner Balash said. It's for the people of Alaska. And to the extent that we can get information out into the public sphere, we should make every effort to do that. But this is, we saw the Stranded Gas Act. This was a conversation we had in House Finance. This is an issue that I'm sure was taken up in Senate Finance and probably just about every committee that the gas line, the 138, went through, which is we do not want to repeat the mistakes from the Stranded Gas Act, where the big proposal was dropped on the legislature's desk. They spent months and months and months in special session and then said, thanks but no thanks, and we went back to ground zero. And then we went through AGEA, and then we went through this. And we want this to continue forward. I very much appreciate, and it's been asked for by the legislature and offered by the administration, this two-way street, this dialogue, this idea that you're going to have the producers going hand-in-hand with the state. You're also going to have the administration going hand-in-hand with the legislature. This thing is going to take a lot of moving parts all working together for us to get over the next 10 or 12 years to first gas. And if you don't have that complete candor between the administration and the legislators at every step, you run the risk of putting all this time and all this money and ending up at the point where the legislature and the administration are not in sync. So I applaud your effort to keep us completely in the loop, and that is where the need for the confidentiality comes in. It is not an attempt to hide any information or hide the ball from the people of Alaska. It is an attempt to make sure that the legislature and the administration continue to go hand in hand, and it's only used and should only be used for information that is truly confidential. But I think it is an important tool, and that's why I chose to sign the agreement and come today. It's, as I mentioned, it's going to be a long process. We're eight to 10 or 11 years from first gas, if all goes well. This is a project that's going to have to go through a lot of transitions. Saying this as a person who has served in this House for 8 years, this may be my last committee meeting as a representative. I don't know. I've got another month and a half until my term expires, but this may very well be my last, and I'm sitting here faced by two commissioners for whom this is probably their last as commissioners, at least at this time. We're all young. You never know what the future may bring. But this is a project that's going to need continuity, and it's going to need communication. And that is what this whole thing is about, is communication from one administrative team to the next, and I would encourage the Walker, incoming Walker administration, to take full advantage of getting up to speed and picking the brains of the people in this room. We want to make sure that there's continuity. It's going to have to survive many over the next, you know, this is even if Governor Walker serves two full terms, we're still going to be into yet another administration by the time gas is flowing. So this is going to have to survive a lot of transitions, a lot of coming and going in the House and the Senate, a lot of people coming and going on behalf of industry. People cycle through. So communication is going to be key. Confidentiality is going to be one small part of that. And I just wanted to put that on the record, Madam Chair. And with that, I want to thank the team for working so openly with us over the last several years on this, and wish you all well in your future endeavors. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. I hadn't thought that it would be your last one, so or maybe your last one. You never know. You never know in politics. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for your service to our state in many capacities, and we appreciate that dialogue. Representative Hawker.
And thank you, Madam. And I too wanted to take a moment to this last opportunity, I think, at least at this juncture in time, as a legislator, to place on the record my appreciation for all that you, Joe, Angela, Fish, your agencies, and all the people that have worked behind you over these years in bringing it to this point, but all you have done. And thank you very much for your service to the state of Alaska. It's a very personal respect from me on behalf here. I'm thinking especially of you, Joe, where over the 12 years we've worked together on this, we've agreed, we've disagreed, we've agreed, we've struggled to agree. You know, we've had a few moments of vehement disagreement. And likewise, we've climbed a lot of mountains and swum a lot of streams together on this over the past 12 years. And I truly believe, and I say it with all the conviction in my heart, that for all we have been through getting us to this point, that we have converged, and we, the legislature, administration, the people of the state of Alaska that an administration represents and that we as legislators represent, we have truly converged on a real solution to that long-held dream of getting Alaska's North Slope natural gas to market in the most efficient and effective manner for the greatest benefit of Alaskans. Like, we've got backup options. In case this doesn't work, this is not a slam dunk, as you've indicated. It can go wrong in so many ways. But I think we, all of us working together, have postured the state with backup options, primary option, and a very organic way of moving forward to let this project develop the way it needs to develop if we don't throw a little weed killer on it along the way here. But, Joe, sincerely, I want to thank you, your team, especially you, especially Fish and Angela. Thank you for everything you've done for the state of Alaska.
Any other comments from legislators? It was Representative Costello's last meeting as a representative, but under-elect, as Commissioner Balash reminded me. With that, it is 5:07, and I want to thank everyone for attending, and the LBNA committee meeting is adjourned.